We Are SC Podcast, Gary Paskowitz, joined by Daryl Rideau. And Daryl, we're here to break down the Trojans' 49-31 victory over Western Michigan. A game that if you're looking at the box score and looking at the numbers, you're thinking SC took care of business. I don't know that that tells the full story of this game. This was a back-and-forth football game, a Trojan team that showed a little bit of rust in the first half, and a Western Michigan team that came out knowing exactly what they wanted to do in terms of running the ball, and they did it well. It made for a back-and-forth football game, but the Trojans were able to pull away at the end and come away with a solid victory. But just give us your uptake about that, a little bit of USC rust, and a Western Michigan team that played tough and knew what they wanted to do.
You know, you give a lot of kudos and respect to the Broncos. You know, there's a lot to be said about returning 15 starters and having several of your backups having game like experience. And this was one of those formidable type of opponents that is very scary, because when you are coming off of the offseason and you're trying to really kind of figure out who your team is and really what your identity is going to become, but then you're challenged against a program that clearly understands what they are. And they were a very powerful running team. What I felt was a combination of a lot of different factors, Gary, especially in the first half, since that seems to be where many of the errors were highlighted. What I noticed was, defensively for USC, they remained in their base coverage. But what was happening was they were over-pursuing, and they weren't finishing through on their tackles. As a result of that, it extended drives for Western Michigan, and the Broncos took advantage of key opportunities that really not only kept them in the game, but at times put them ahead. But we didn't really notice a lot of pressing. I think that speaks to the experience of this USC team. And overall, I thought that this was a tale of two halves. One, USC trying to find its way through and remain disciplined to being in their base coverage until they figured out how they were being attacked by the Broncos, Western Michigan. In the second half, I thought that the necessary adjustments of not only the right play calling, but also the adjustment of personnel proved to be the difference.
Yeah, and like you say, Western Michigan having an identity, they had three running backs. They rushed the ball 48 times. They had at least one offensive lineman, number 77, what was as good as you're going to see at the college level. That guy is an NFL player, no doubt about it. But like you say, in the second half, they had 161 rushing yards in the first half. They only had 102 in the second half. And I'm going to say number 35 in the middle of that Trojan defense and the way that he was able to communicate things, that played a big role in that rushing total going down in the second half.
Absolutely. You know, and having the likes of a guy like Cam Smith in the second half, back on the football field, able to make those in-game adjustments in between plays, getting guys lined up, adjusting the defense so that, they're positioned well, proved to really kind of stabilize things. And there's a lot to be said. You know, you can always replace talent on the field, but there's a lot to be said about leaning on your experience, leaning on the tenure of your veterans. And, you know, just to kind of finish one last thought about the first half, I thought offensively USC found themselves pressing at times, really overcommitting to maybe their scripted plays. And so when they had a few three and outs, it appeared as though they really wanted to kind of implement certain packages to kind of get that on film. And it almost came at the detriment of the rhythm of the offense. That first drive was as impressive as one could ever ask for, and Rojo certainly appeared to be, you know, in midseason form. But then when you go away from that, a few drop passes, you know, a little rushed on some of the throws kind of led to some three and outs. And where most teams might have pressed, this team seemed to kind of really just struggle to kind of regain its rhythm at times, but they continued to fight teeth and nail to stay in the game.
And that's what I like, is in the second half, the Trojans did, you know, find that mojo, if you will. And it was a much better rhythm. Trojans scored 35 points in the second half. That's obviously showing something good. But what they did, you had asked Coach Helton in practice last week, after he had released the depth chart and there was a lot of veteran guys in spots that opened some eyes to people. And he explained himself very well about why he goes with, as you put it, tenure over talent. Early on, and boy, I think that resonated in this game and proved his thinking correct, because when you look at the guys that stepped up, it was veterans like Sam Darnold, Ronald Jones, Deontay Burnett, who really led that way.
Yeah, and make no mistake about it. Sometimes you can second guess yourself and maybe question that, boy, you know, I got an incoming transfer or a freshman that appears to be more talented. But in key situations when your team is somewhat, you know, just kind of off its rhythm, you rely on the experience, guys that have been in the trenches, guys that have been in those situations before, because oftentimes you have a good sense of how they're going to respond to that type of adversity. And when USC needed an extra play to extend the yards, who did they turn to? You just talked about it. They turned on the ground, they turned to Ronald Jones. And Rojo, he showed up and he showed out today. But it was really, I thought, some key catches by Deontay Burnett that while he didn't get in the end zone with a touchdown reception, he extended plays and he found pockets and holes and he gave Sam Darnold someone that he can depend upon, a golden retriever, that he knew if he threw the ball within proximity that Deontay was going to find a way to come down with the ball. And until some of the younger receivers become caught up in terms of developing that type of chemistry with Sam Darnold, look for USC to continue to find ways to get Deontay Burnett involved early in the game to really kind of balance out the power on the offense.
And to me, the biggest example of those two, you know, when you talk Sam, Deontay, and Rojo, was in the fourth quarter, and it was 28-28. Western Michigan had just returned, a kickoff for a 100-yard touchdown. And at that point, you were saying, it's the fourth quarter, it's 28-28. They just made a big play like that. These guys are in the football game. They're matching everything. Sam, it was a three-play, 87-yard drive. It was Sam hitting a big play to Deontay Burnett, and then Rojo dazzling with that 37-yard touchdown. That puts it at 35-28. And now you're looking at Western Michigan and saying, okay, you know, your turn, what do you have now? And that's when they kind of blinked. And that was a turning point. I want to talk about that. They had the long, they got the ball down to the USC side. They were down in the red zone, and Biggie Marshall made a strip. It looked like a great play. The Coliseum came alive, but the call got reversed. And the ball went back to Western Michigan, and they got the ball in great field position. You're thinking, okay, what happens now? They blinked. Two false start penalties, and they had to settle for a field goal. And from there, the Trojans put the game away. That was a huge moment in that football game.
And you just talked about tenure, relying on your veterans. A guy like Biggie Marshall, Iman Biggie Marshall, really kind of, he showed up big in key moments in this game, and none bigger than the strip. While it didn't count, you couldn't tell anybody in the Coliseum who didn't appreciate the effort that was made. And it really did kind of galvanize that group. So when Western Michigan sputtered, and those two false starts, you can tell it really kind of deflated some of the air out of that momentum that they were building. And then USC turns around, and it felt like a 14-point swing at that point because, you know, you got the dazzling play from Rojo, but then also the pick six from Marvell Tell. Those plays came at a crucial time where this team needed to finish. And that was an illustration of why Clay Helton relies so heavily and leans so heavily on his veterans. Because when you need those big plays and those big moments, they now have the experience to put these type of games away because they've been in these situations. Look no further than the last Rose Bowl that they were in when they were down late in the game. While right. This wasn't, you didn't get the feel that they were ever out of this game, they certainly didn't blink when adversity struck them and was really knocking at their doorstep.
There's no doubt about it. And there was a lot of veterans, but there was also a freshman. And so as soon as Western Michigan kicked that field goal and it's 35-31 now, and let's see what SC does, boy, Stephen Carr put on a 52-yard run where he put a juke step on the defender and just sailed into the end zone. Daryl, that Coliseum came alive at that moment, and it was the introduction for everyone who had heard about number 7 Stephen Carr. This is a glimpse of what you're going to have with this guy. What a big moment for a freshman to step up in.
Right, and you know, in the cliche, in a phone booth, oftentimes in basketball, when you get dunked on, you're posterized. Well, this defender was posterized by Stephen Carr because when he leaned his weight, shifted to the left, put his foot in the ground, then dip back to the right, he really didn't go more than maybe 6 inches, Gary. Tell that defender that, because he shook. Not only did the dude lose his jockstrap, but I think he dropped everything else with it. Because if anything more than an ole was touched on Carr, please show me a different angle. But his ability to put his foot in the ground and that second gear that he possessed makes this backfield very formidable. When you talk about taking off the field a guy like Rojo, and then you're replacing it with this young talent, 7 carries, 69 yards, 2 touchdowns, and oh, by the way, out of the back, you know, at the receiver position, 3 catches, you know, that's 10 very productive plays in a big moment. Kudos to, if anybody ever met him, you know that he doesn't lack confidence, but the embrace that he seems to get from his teammates was definitely applauded.
And there is no, that moment was not too big for him. And I think that's one of the things you get from this guy is, yeah, he, one of those cliches, he was born to do this. And you talked
to
him. Yeah, we talked to him afterwards.
I'm just glad he's wearing Cardinal and Gold.
As he says, I wanted to be an SC tailback. I can't do that if I'm playing at Oregon or somewhere else. He wants to be here. He wanted to do that in the Coliseum. And look, we're going to enjoy this kid for a little while. We certainly did yesterday. Speaking of great moments, USC gets Marvell Tells pick. Terrific play by Marvell. And boy, did that lick that he laid on the Western Michigan ball carrier earlier in the game, Marvell Tell came to play. The pick was great. But Marvell Tell scores the touchdown, and then Clay Helton sends Jay Colson out for the snap. It was a thing that had been prearranged with the Western Michigan coach. We aren't going to rush on your first PAT, which they didn't, and you noticed it. And then later in the game when Jay Colson was in the Western Michigan, the coach had gathered the players up on the Western Michigan sideline, told them this is what we're going to do, we're not going to rush, here's the moment. Jake snaps the ball, the kick is made. Not only do the USC players celebrate with Jake, but I saw several of the Western Michigan players come by, get him a pat on the shoulder pads, do that incredibly classy gesture by the Western Michigan team.
Gary, let me give you perspective from my vantage point. I was watching the game. I'm currently in Hong Kong, okay? It had to be maybe 6 or 7 a.m. in the morning because kickoff was like a little after 5 a.m., that is, on a Sunday. The game kicked off on Saturday, but for me it's Sunday. And I'm staring at my screen on my computer, and I really can't comprehend what is happening until I see Olsen's hand placed on the shoulder of another player as he's being escorted onto the field. And I said to myself, wait a minute, is that who I think it is? And is this really happening? And to see the respect and the humility displayed by all 21 other players on the football field, recognizing this moment and what this means to a young man whose journey started many years ago, 8 years ago, wondering if he would ever get an opportunity to be in a situation like this, it brought tears to me. And I rarely ever get choked up, but this was one of those memorable experiences that I was glad I had a chance to witness, regardless of whether I was in the Coliseum or here in Hong Kong. That was a moment that you can appreciate because it showed the humanity of man.
And then one of the best parts about it to me, Daryl, was when you got into the post-game press conference, and it was Clay Helton, Ronald Jones, Marvell Tell, and Jake Olson. There was a couple questions given to Clay and to Rojo, and then the questioning started going to Jake Olson. Daryl, he absolutely owned that room with his talk. It was the way where Helton and Jones and Tell were kind of sitting back going, yeah, this has nothing to do with us, it's all about Jake right now. He talked about appreciating the beauty of what had transpired. He said, if you don't appreciate the beauty of this, then you're the blind one. And he went on to talk, think about a kid who was 12 years old losing his sight. And then the way that he gets to experience this moment from the football team that got him through everything and to be able to come here and do this. Daryl, it was an incredibly powerful exclamation point to what we saw right there. Jake Olson just, if you can see that speech and hear his words, it was powerful.
And that's what I mean, Gary. It still brings chills to me thinking about all of the adversity that he had to overcome to get a chance to live out a dream of his. And if that doesn't inspire anyone to go out and achieve their goals when there's limitations